You're listening to Unregular Radio. Up next, the D-Pad.
You're listening to Unregular Radio. The following program is mature content intended for adults only. The views, opinions, and thoughts expressed here are not necessarily those of Unregular Radio, its staff, or its affiliates. Furthermore, do not attempt to recreate any of the situations described, as it may prove physically, legally, or financially harmful. And as always, thank you for listening to Unregular Radio.
This week, Steam's Big Picture Mode launches worldwide, and Ouya collectively shits a brick. Star Trek Into Darkness releases its first trailer with surprisingly few lens flares. And with the Wii U and the big picture launching, we look back at the best and worst of console launches. Commissioner Goodell is taking a kickoff out of football. In related news, Mario is shaving his mustache. I'm Rick Desolitz.
Where is everyone else?
This is the D-Pad.
Your biplane and make out with each other.
Look at these two. Their lives must have been horrible.
Two dorky dudes.
They dwell for adorable.
You spend all your time on one machine? If you wanted to fly, you should have just eaten this leaf.
You should eat something anyway. Look at you so skinny.
You might fly like a hawk.
Would you fight like a kitty?
We don't need a fight. We're the fathers of flight. Representing North Carolina. Alright. We'll be pressing all your buttons like we're the controller.
Conquer every level of your
2D scroller. You talk a lot of trash, but let me tell you something.
We're gonna beat you so fast.
It's like we're holding down the B button.
We're saving up an 8-bit fist.
Made to order.
We're gonna knock you off the back of your own stupid quarters.
Like pow! How you like me now?
Spit flames out of mouths
like a name with Bowser.
You get pummeled. You wish you never stumbled out your little wind tunnel.
We've been dropping my bomb since we started this song.
Sorry, right butters. This time you chose wrong.
Hey, everybody. It's the empty pad.
Yeah, there's like no one here.
What the fuck? So in case you couldn't tell by his voice, Nick Beeble is here.
Indeed I am.
Yeah, and I'm here, but John's not here. CJ's not here. I knew John wasn't going to be here. He had stuff going on tonight. He might join us later.
Well, this is also CJ, who might be showing up anytime.
He could show up anytime, and he'll probably yell the C-pad when he gets here. But how are you guys doing out there tonight? Hope everyone's doing good. Yeah? Yeah? How are you doing, Nick?
Not bad. Yourself?
No, pretty good. I almost got beer spilled on me before we got here.
Yeah, it happened.
Yeah, yeah. We usually hang out at JJ Foley's before the show.
We're on the corner, a nice little bar.
Get down there, grab a drink, grab a bite, something
and,
like that.
And what happened was there was a friend of a guy who looked enough like a friend of ours that we were.
Yep.
He looked over and we were.
He
looking
must
at him.
Have heard us. He must have heard us.
He might have because we're still not sure this it wasn't him. and then he came over and tried to high five both of us. He missed both of our hands.
And then walked into the bathroom door, dropped a glass of beer, grabbed another one, and walked outside with it. So
after walking directly into a door he just opened.
But enough about that. We're here at the D-pad. Talking about nerdy stuff and not beer. I don't know, maybe some beer. We don't have any beer with us tonight, do we?
Unfortunately not.
No. So we usually have our dedication, top of the show, a little dedication. We got this one for, I can't believe I'm saying this either. Congress gets our dedication.
Ooh.
Right? And I never, they apparently today they voted unanimously against a UN bill to put more government control on the internet. They voted against it.
Good for them.
All 397.
Wow, I didn't think Congress
voters.
Was able to vote
yeah,
unanimously.
Yeah, nope, but apparently they're all for nobody policing the internet, which is cool by us. That's pretty sweet.
Because the Democrats are against government control of the internet, and the Republicans are against the UN doing anything.
That's true. So, also, another big one today. Today is the first day that Washington State recreational pot is now legal.
Yeah.
Yeah. The spokesperson for the Seattle police went on like at a press conference or whatever. Is like, we are totally cool with you smoking pot in your home, watching Lord of the Rings, ordering a pizza, if you so choose. Almost those exact words, which was amazing. So congrats, Seattle and the rest of Washington. Have fun.
All right.
Yeah. So we got some. I know you're gonna love this. The Wii U. Which we've talked about a little bit over the last month now.
A little bit. Just a little bit.
Just a little smidgen right there. Got some more interesting Wii U stuff. Last week, there was big news on eBay. There was a Wii U-related item that was on sale. A cardboard cutout of a Wii U gamepad. And I want you guys to try to guess how much it went for. How much it was going for. It got taken down, sadly, but how much it was going for.
I'm going to go with $25,000.
$25,000? Rob?
I'll go with $7.
$7? You're both a little under. The last anyone saw it before eBay took it down, it was going for $91,300.
I thought mine was going to be under. I was pretty sure $25,000 was not going to be high.
For a piece of cardboard with some Sharpie on it saying Wii U.
Wow.
Basically, yeah.
You can sell some really weird stuff on eBay if you sell it right.
Yeah, what the hell is that?
Except eBay wouldn't let them sell it.
No, eBay wouldn't let them sell. I got mad a while back in high school. I was trying to buy some. I knew they were pirate games. Like they were weird pirated Game Boy games or something. It was like five of them. I was like, oh, sweet. You never see this stuff for sale. So I went to buy it. I was the only bidder. And then before, like maybe 5 minutes before the sale happened, it got pulled. And they were like, oh, you were about to get scammed. It was pirate games. I was like, I fucking know it was pirate games. I wanted the damn things. Sadly, didn't go through. Couldn't get a hold of them either. They like killed the account right away.
All right.
But let's see. So,
all right, I got some news here.
Yeah, you got some? Go for it.
On the news of things we talk about usually week to week.
Yeah.
League of Legends.
Hey.
Is now. I got two things about League of Legends.
Sure.
The first one, both of them are actually them going towards legitimacy on being a real sport.
It's they're doing their new. Go ahead. Yeah.
ESPN has started looking into Major League Gaming, whether or not they're going to play it.
Wow.
On TV.
Wait, Major League Gaming as a whole.
Yeah.
Nice.
League of Legends.
We got to get in on that. The Major League Gaming thing.
League of Legends inspired them to start looking at it because there was just recently a feature on ESPN.com about them looking into it and whether or not there was a tournament recently in Las Vegas that ESPN went to and followed and saw what happened on whether or not this is something they could put on TV. And it's pretty easy to put on TV. They already show it online, and it's something that could actually start popping up. The other one. You know how in like professional sports, if players are dicks on they get suspended. League of Legends just had its first case of it.
Oh boy! Its first, really.
Basically, one of the top teams, I think it's like a top, probably like top 20 team in the world, is a team called Team Dignitas, which is really funny when you think that their name derives from dignity.
Sure.
A player, I Will Dominate. Is probably is arguably the best player on their team. He's one of the best players in League of Legends.
Okay.
He is also the biggest douchebag.
What did he do?
It's just a lot of verbal abuse and poor sportsmanship.
So it wasn't like one thing. It was a whole
They said over the he is.
Did they give any example of like one really?
Basically, he said over the past few months, his harassment score has increased 30%.
You get a harassment score?
Yeah. Because they can see the log. Because what you can do is if you're playing against someone and they're harassing you and just swearing, you can report them as like in what they're doing, so they can track whether basically it's to keep 13-year-olds from just typing faggot and noob.
Yeah. Do they?
And basically, they thought that was only used for people like who are new to the game and 13, not one of the top pros.
Do they have leaderboards for harassment scores? Because I think if they don't, that really.
I'm waiting for them to actually start releasing who's on those boards.
Right, that'd be fucking awesome. Oh my god.
But yeah, I didn't think one of the top players in the world would be.
Oh, of course.
Get that, but it's like because it looks like just childish stuff. It's not even like he's doing stuff at pro events. He's just calling people fags and noobs just when he's playing normally.
Wow. That's fucking wow. Didn't we talk a while ago either like Bungie or Microsoft, someone was starting to take that stuff real seriously too. Unlike if you're playing like 360, they're actually getting really serious about
Black Ops.
That was the one. Yes. Apparently, yeah, if you start just like cursing all the fucking time like that, then eventually they're going to just ban you altogether. It's really weird. I don't know. I had a couple more Wii U ones, actually, since we were jumping into that topic, and I know that you hate it, so I figured that'd be good So there was this thing called Panorama View when the Wii U was doing like tech demos and stuff, and I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's like take the camera, you kind of swing it around, all that stuff, 3D environments. Apparently, there was a reason that they were showing that off, and that's because Nintendo and Google are about to get into a little business venture. Google Street View is about to get integrated with the Wii U gamepad in such a way where if you go into Street View on there, you can physically move the Wii U gamepad and walk around with it and interact with the map in real time, 3D space. So you can actually, like, digitally walk down, or not digitally, virtually walk down a street to figure out where you are on a map in Google. I think that's craziness.
Well, I kind of do that now with Google Maps.
Yeah, just kind of, all right, yeah. Where are we here?
If you have it on your phone, you just start doing that. It's like, yeah, I'm there.
Well, not that. Well, yeah. On my computer.
Oh, yeah. literally just clicking down the street like, all right, I'm eventually going to. Oh, you got one of those old school ones. Yeah.
I just got this today. This is a work phone.
Did you? Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't even have a personal phone.
No? No. Oh, wow. Really old school then.
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, no, I see, I get lost all the time. I'm terrible with the directions. So I don't know if like. It'd be cool if you could just bring that around with you and play something. All right, hang on. Oh, yeah, we're over. It's over that way. Let's go that way. Let's go.
So now you
got to
be the cool kid walking down the street holding
the street
with
a Wii U gamepad. Yeah. That's what all the cool kids do, man.
So your high school bullies can just easily find you. Oh, yeah. Take your lunch money.
You need a backpack just for the gamepad. Walk down the street with that. And you'll get beat up. It's whatever. We had one more with it, and I know you're going to. This one, I saved this one for last for a little Wii U shtick because you're going to hate this most of all.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Apparently, some folks at Destructoid were playing the Wii U version of Call of Duty Black Ops 2, and they determined after playing it that the Wii U version is the definitive version of the game.
That's a low bar considering that it's Black Ops 2.
It's not so much that it's the game, but it's the gamepad. You can change stuff on the fly. Literally, like, that was their big thing. Not so much as preferences in general, but precision. You could change how fast, like, your reticle and all this stuff. You could change all these little settings really, really quickly to the point where once you've learned those controls a little bit, it's way more like real life. Like, you can actually really kind of fine-tune all this stuff. I don't know. I think that's really cool. They're extending it to other games, obviously, but as far as the shooting game department, that's pretty good. I don't know. I'm excited. I still have yet to actually even lay my hands on one of those things. So I don't know. It's gonna be exciting. We're gonna try to get something for you guys before the new year on that.
All right, I got a fun one here.
What's that?
We've talked a little about the Humble Indie Bundles before.
Yes. Oh yeah. This. Okay.
Because now for the first time ever, a company has decided that, you know what, we want to get in on this mm-hmm. with some of our older AAA titles.
Yep.
The company THQ, who yes. has made one of my favorite franchises, Saints Row. And in the release is Saints Row the Third, Metro 2033, and Darksiders.
Yep.
And basically, these are all like $50 games. And the average sell is for $5.58.
Sure.
It's still got. I think it's got like three or four days left on
now,
it.
Now, for those of you who don't know how Humble Bundles.
It's pay whatever you want. Yeah. For these games.
Well, it's pay whatever you want, and then if you pay above the average you get like bonus games. You get some extra stuff to go with it, which is cool. I think that's always been a neat incentive.
Yeah, they've got some. They got Company Heroes as some of the. Titan Quest is a bonus if you pay more than the average.
I think honestly, the best one in there is still Saints Row, the third.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's not even the best Saints Row.
No, it isn't. I like Saints Row 2 a lot better, yeah. Speaking of pay what you want things, I don't know what to call them.
Just random things.
Oh, is that?
If you do get this, the money goes to Child's Play and the American Red Cross.
Yeah, they've always been big about
that. This doesn't
go
to the company. This goes to charity.
Yeah, which is cool, which is very cool. So give to charity. Check out the Humble THQ bundle. And get some
and
cool
that's
stuff.
That's a great company too. Yeah. THQ, they make some really good games.
Yeah, it's very cool. So likewise, I don't know if anyone out there plays Cards Against Humanity. It is one of the greatest fucking games in the world. If you haven't played that, it's like apples to apples for terrible people. And if you haven't played apples to apples, then you're missing out on two great games. They just had a sale recently for the Christmas bundle, which I don't know if it's still up, but they made a Christmas pack. That you could get shipped to you for whatever you like, whatever cost, including if you want to be an asshole, $0. They actually call you out on it if you try doing zero. They'll let you do it, but they'll call you an asshole. It costs them $3 to make and ship it, so anything above that, they're like super thankful for. Head to, I guess, cardsagainsthumanity.com probably to check that out. It's a great game. You can download the thing and just print it out.
We've had way too many good nights
drinking,
just showing how awful of people we really can be.
It really is. It's such a great, terrible, evil game, and I love it. So we didn't do our usual like self plugs at the top of this thing, by the way. For those of you who are here and not, you know, I don't know. So I listen to Kiss 108 in the morning because I have no taste in music at that time of the morning.
Nothing says wake up like Kesha.
Yeah, no kidding, right? I don't know. Apparently Jingle Ball is today in Boston, I guess.
What?
They do like every Christmas like season, they do some huge crazy-ass concert or whatever. Mm. I don't know. So those of you who are here and not there, which is hopefully not an overlapping audience, I would hope. That'd be really unfortunate. Yeah, you can follow us on Facebook. We got a thing on there. We got twitter.com/downrightdpad. We're not going to be quite as responsive tonight. We're very low tech. Yeah. My laptop has sadly kicked the bucket for the time being until I can get that thing fixed. So no live tweets today, unfortunately. We'll tweet back after the show. Tweet us something. We'll yell at you.
We'll just string profanities.
Terrible jokes and awful, you know, segues and tangents. Right. How about some Ouya? Why don't you do it? Since John's not here.
Ooh, yeah. Oh, no. That was terrible.
That really was terrible. Why did we do this
better
ever?
Better than Selig, but that's a low bar to jump.
I don't know. You're not really jumping anything. You're just kind of...
tripping over it?
Yeah, a little bit.
But I fell over it. That's the important thing.
So the Ouya, which is our favorite little terrible game system that we like to rag on every week because it doesn't make sense that they're making it at all, is on time completely still.
How?
So they're still set to release for the most part in March. They're still sending out dev kits this month. And on top of that, if you paid $700 in the original Kickstarter, you're getting your Ouya on December 28th.
I'm still surprised people say it paid $700. That's the price of, you could get several PlayStation 3s for that.
It's true. You could get several of anything. Right,
instead,
now,
you could get a PlayStation 3, which is basically an NVIDIA computer system.
Yep.
But you're paying $700 instead for an Android phone in a box.
Yeah, a big Android phone in a tiny box that plays on your TV, which hilariously is now already obsolete now that Steam has done big picture mode. You can now hook it up to your TV and play it that way.
Yeah.
Woo! And then the Ouya.
And around the time they finally come out with the Steam box, they're just dead.
Yeah, the big picture is already going to take some serious heat out of that. Yeah. So Ouya is apparently on time until it's not, when it dies, which is coming soon.
They were saying that was going to make history, and it's going to die spectacularly.
Oh, yeah.
How about some actual video game history being made this week?
What's that?
The Grammy nominations came out.
Oh, okay.
And for the first time in history,
yeah,
a video game has been nominated for a Grammy.
Whoa, what? That's a thing?
Best composition. It's up against... The Adventures of Tintin.
Yeah.
The Artist, The Dark Knight Rises, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
For the Grammys. Okay,
and
yeah.
Huge. Bunch of movies.
Huge?
Huge. It's by Howard Shore. I don't know if it's a movie or what.
Oh, okay.
Howard Shore is the composer. But it's like John
the Notorious
Williams,
B.I.G.
John,
story.
John Williams, Hans,
huge.
Hans Zimmer. I mean, world famous
sure.
composers.
Yeah.
And the game that got nominated.
Yeah.
Journey.
I was gonna say it's probably Journey, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. Journey was the first video game to be nominated for a Grammy.
Wow. That's pretty cool. Should be interesting. It's probably not gonna win, but that's still really neat.
Yeah. It was a beautiful soundtrack.
Yeah. Nice.
Silent game, it had to be carried by music and it did it very well. And I'm actually a little surprised the Grammys were willing to acknowledge it.
Yeah. They're all legitimate. It's not like they're not music. So,
it's a full
they're
composition.
More musical than most of the shit that wins Grammys most years anyway.
Yeah,
so
it's full composition.
Sweet. All right, well, that's cool.
What's really funny is it's also up for a Spike Video Game Award for the soundtrack.
Yeah,
up against that is Call of Duty Black Ops 2, Halo 4, and Max Payne 3. One of these things is not like the others.
What the fuck? Okay,
I'm pretty sure the other ones are just gun sounds.
Yeah, it's just yeah, no, it's just machine gun fire set to, I don't know, Coldplay or something. I don't fucking play those games.
I just imagine they're all scored by Nickelback.
Oh my god!
Look at the photograph.
Please don't. Please never. Not ever. Once. Not ever. Speaking of music, actually, so Kotaku put out an awesome article that I thought would be good to address. They were talking about the Guitar Hero series, which died about a year ago. A year and a half ago.
I think it's closer to 2 years ago.
No, it was 2011 was when they officially killed it.
Oh.
Now, as it turns out, recently revealed, they were working on another game when the series got canceled. And they were actually pretty far into development, too. So a game that was not super far in, but like the mechanics were made. They were just having trouble filling it because it was going to be Guitar Hero 7 was going to be just the guitar, so no vocals, no drums, none of that stuff, so just guitar, and it was going to be a completely new controller, six-string guitar. So taking out all of what was left of the fun elements of Guitar Hero, replacing them with a completely obnoxious-ass guitar controller that no one knew how to use at Activision, and yeah, no, it was a disaster, and midway through, they were just finally like, yeah, we're done. We're just going to pack this one in.
So it was going to be strings instead of buttons?
I don't know. It seemed like it. I mean, I think Rock Band
really
had a similar thing with the Pro controllers.
But that really didn't work out because they couldn't produce the stuff enough.
Yeah, no, that was one of their big problems. They had no money, so they couldn't get good songs. They were playing like all of the like C-list songs of the 90s, as they described. Like they had Sex and Candy was one of their songs.
And one of the big ones.
Because when I think Guitar Hero, I think, yeah, Metallica, sweet. Sex and Candy, fuck yeah, yeah. What?
Like
yeah.
The Screaming Trees.
Who the hell wants to listen to the Marcy Playground? No
right?
one does.
No, nobody does. And, nobody they did.
Also, but the other thing, they had problems making the physical equipment, the guitars.
Yeah, oh yeah.
They,
no.
couldn't do, they were in trouble with that.
They were having every imaginable problem that could have come up they were facing, which, I mean, props for trying to push through it, but Rock Band was just too big. They dug their own grave when they split for Guitar Hero 3. That was kind of the beginning of the long, painful end for Guitar Hero, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the other one I want to talk about here. So big, nerdy, awesome news for movies this week. The new Star Trek movie, Star Trek Into Darkness, which just got a teaser, a trailer, got posters, got synopses, all that fun stuff. We got a trailer with Benedict Cumberbatch, which is the greatest British name ever. I can't think of a better one off the top of my head.
Who's actually just wandering around as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah, who is Sherlock in the BBC show Sherlock. He's Smaug in the new Hobbit movie. He's doing pretty well for himself lately. Yeah. He really kind of exploded. But so, yeah, he's the bad guy who doesn't have a name right now in Star Trek. There's still rumors that he might be... I can't remember the guy's name. I didn't watch that much Star Trek. But there was like a character who gained these weird psychic powers and turned bad and all this stuff, and he had to like die to, you know, whatever. They're saying it might be like a new version of that, but it looked awesome. And something is kind of inherently wrong with looking at Star Trek movie and going, yeah, fuck yeah, look at the action scenes, the blowing up and the boom. Because, I mean, you think Star Trek, you think like, well, let's go over here and explore or some shit, but no, it looks pretty badass, actually. I'm excited. Yeah. And not, they don't have that stupid fucking lens flare thing going anymore.
Yeah, they had a boner for the lens flare.
That was
last
ridiculous
time.
In the first movie they did. It was every fucking scene was a lens flare.
Well, JJ Finish can't finish. JJ Abrams
JJ
can't
finish.
JJ Abrams can't finish without lens flare. It's like how I'm the person who made the person who made the Hunger Games. Yeah. Shaky cam is how they get their rocks off.
Oh god, yeah. Oh guys, I saw something else actually just the other day that there was a lot of shaky cam too. Trying to remember. Fuck, I don't remember. Right, no, Hunger Games. Nothing like, oh, all right, huge serene shot, and then all right, action scene. Blah, 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 just like someone just wiggling a camera in front of everyone, just going like, oh, I can't see a fucking thing.
All right, I got one. It's a small introduction to something we're going to be doing at the end of the at the end of the month. Because at the end of the month, we're going to have an entire episode dedicated to what we thought was the best of the year, mm-hmm. like every other show, because we have to. But Time Magazine every year does their top tens of everything.
Sure.
And they were pretty good on like movies, TV shows. And TV shows, they had things like Parks and Recreation, Louis, mm-hmm. Breaking Bad, you know, standard ones. However, their video game list might have been the most atrocious top 10 list.
Oh, God, yeah.
Here, we'll go through it. Number 10, Torchlight 2, which I've heard is not bad. Nothing. Which yeah. I've heard is not bad. Number 9, Halo 4.
Okay.
Number 8, Little Big Planet. They put that at number 8 just because it finally got released on the Vita.
Fucking
why?
Oh my god. Okay.
Number 7, The Last Story. Hadn't really heard much about that one.
Sure, yeah.
Number 6, Popo and Yo.
What?
It's a cute little game. It's not, I mean, it's for a weak year, maybe top 10, fine. Number 5, Assassin's Creed 3, which I've heard is the most, it's just painfully boring. Number 4, Dishonored. It's going to be on everyone's list. It's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3, XCOM Enemy Unknown, which I've heard is a surprisingly good game.
Yeah, no, I've heard the same.
It's apparently one of the few games that really does turn-based strategy well. Mm. Number 2, The Xenoblade Chronicles.
Yeah.
And number 1, Guild Wars 2.
What?
Yeah. Did you notice a few games missing from that, such as like Mass Effect 3, Journey, Minecraft?
Yeah, I'm not. See, I fucking hate Minecraft, but I can understand it being super popular. So, I mean, it belongs on a top whatever list of the year for sure.
Yeah. Above Little Big Planet, Last Story.
Little Big Planet isn't even a new fucking game. It's just a port at this point.
It's one was just like, how would they swing that badly?
Yeah. Wow. That's fucked up.
I mean, yeah, it's like Game Informer just put out its list, and that thing was a disaster area, but at least it had some decent games in there.
Yeah, for a top 50, you're really digging once you get to the 50th of the year.
Final Fantasy 13 too made their top 50 list, and I can't argue it because there wasn't 50 games this year.
Yeah, there was barely enough to really go around for that. Wow. All right, well, why don't we take our break? When we come back, we're going to talk about, since the Wii U just came out, Steam Big Picture Mode is out. The Ouya is coming out soon. We're going to talk about like the best, the worst of launches, of when consoles came out, our best and worst, awful, terrible memories of all that shit going down. So let's get some Titus Jones mashup going, and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I like that. Titus Jones makes some great fucking mashups. They're not all nerdy like that. That's like one of the only ones that's nerdy, but there's some good stuff. TitusJones.com, all free for download, too. Some great fucking stuff. Hey, Beeble and Rob, did you know that Cadbury, the guys who make those amazing fucking eggs that everyone goddamn loves, just created what food scientists are being baffled by, a chocolate that can survive tropical temperatures for up to 3 hours without melting.
Oh, my God.
This is some Wonka science right here. Yeah. Yeah.
That's...
Right?
That happened.
Yeah. No, apparently this week they were just like, oh, yeah, we just did this. And everyone went, what? Huh? And they, like, sent some stuff out as, like, samples to everybody, and it fucking worked. They just put it under, like, 102 degree whatever, and it's like, yep, it'll
That's
stay
some
here
great
for...
science being done right there.
Right.
Is cancer cured yet?
No, but they found that the chocolate will not get cancer.
Oh.
Yeah, it will not get cancer even under 178 degree. Because
that's what causes cancer.
Exactly, heat.
Tropical that's, heat.
Exactly, yeah. So, wow, fuck. So, the Wii U is out. We've talked about that at least 5 times now on the show.
God, is that all we're talking about? Do you have a list of Wii U shit?
No. This is actually very little to do with the Wii U. I wanted to talk about launch titles, all that shit. Because, excuse me. Because I know that we've been talking a lot about the games that have been available at the start of this thing, so I figured it'd be nice to compare. Let's kind of look back a little at some of the history thing. What video games? What systems did you get like when they first came out?
Oh God, when they first came out,
yeah.
The PlayStation 2. I think it was the first one I ever got on its initial release.
The PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Okay.
Outside of that, I don't think I've ever gotten one at its initial release.
Okay. All right. Rob, how about you?
Yeah, I've never gotten one like right when it was first coming out. I got my PS2 in 2002.
Nice.
So it was like a
Keeping
year
up.
After.
Yeah,
or maybe two, right?
Yeah, that's
when
not...
did the PS2 come out? 2001?
Something like that. Yeah, I think it was 2000 or 2001. So it would have been like a year or two. That's not that bad. No, that's pretty good. I know folks who literally got their PS1 when the PS2 was like... hot and the thing, so it's certainly not that bad. I got a bunch of them when they first came out. I got the Wii. I was actually the first guy in Worcester to get a Wii, just like by chance. We happened to show up like and got there right as the door was opening to get like pre-orders and all that stuff. The Genesis, I think we actually got. Like my parents got. They thought it looked cool, and it was cool. I loved that thing, but. We've been talking a lot about like what's available at the start of a system's life, and there's some interesting. I took a look today. I thought like, hey, it'd be kind of cool to, well, not cool, but you know, something to alleviate the boredom of the day to go and take a look at some of that stuff. But it surprises me some of the things. Like you ever look back at like an ad from like the 70s for like a VCR. Or something.
Yeah, they look ridiculous. Yeah.
They look huge. They're like the size of your house, and they cost like $11,000. For what, I mean, when we were kids, pretty much we're like, oh, yeah, you can give those away, and that's, you know.
Yeah. Or like the old cell phones.
Oh, the fucking huge, giant, like, the antenna you attach to your head.
It's like the Flintstones shit on the side of the
huge
car.
Huge rock, just goosh. Oh, hey. We had a car phone for a little while, for a very, very little while in our car.
Did
oh, my
feel like
God.
Johnny Dangerously?
Yeah, a little bit. It's like, oh, someone's calling on our fucking bloop, bloop. Like, oh, that was it was ridiculous. We fucking
I think even if I had a car with the car phone,
yeah,
I think it would always make me feel like 80s Bond.
Yeah, no, a little bit. It's kind of a spy thing to have the phone, not like just to have a phone connected to your car, but like in your car.
Because it feels like a ridiculous thing that only like James Bond would have. Like
exactly,
Q's putting that
Who
in your car.
Who needs a phone like into your car, right? My my mom has the stupidest the weirdest attachment for her phone. She has like a BlackBerry or something. She's got like a holster for it and the thing. But so when someone calls her, instead of just picking up her phone or putting it on speaker, all of a sudden I see her pull out this USB thing and plug it into the side, and she picks up like the receiver of a regular like phone, like the little you know barbell sort of shaped thing.
Oh God, have you seen the attachment for the new like hipster attachment for your iPhone?
No,
is basically the you plug it into the headphone jack.
Yeah,
and then it has the curly Q old school handle.
Yeah,
phone.
No, that's what my mom has. Ugh. I saw that for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and
ridiculous thing I've ever
seen.
It
really is.
Why does she do that?
I think so that you know you don't drop the phone. You don't drop the whole phone all of a sudden. You just you know you drop the thing or whatever. I don't know. I really don't know. It doesn't
no,
make
it's,
sense to
it's,
me.
No, it's I think the best application is for car use. So when someone drives by, and if you
can
if
confuse
you
the shit
like,
out
if you
of
them, like an iPhone, it's like, oh, they're a douchebag. But if someone's holding like the old like 1960s phone up to their ears, like what kind of car is that?
It's a time machine.
Yeah, no. It.
The only way that really makes sense to anyone is if it's like, why are they holding a bar? Oh, they're in a DeLorean. That makes sense now.
Yeah, that would be good. A DeLorean. If you have a DeLorean, please buy the old school phone attachment for your
cell phone. That's the only way to be truly cool with it.
It really is.
How expensive is that?
I don't know. That's got to be one of those things where like they charge a ton for it because it's so like old timey.
Yeah.
Like, here you go, $100 for a fucking microphone and speaker in your head.
I think I've seen them. They're like $20. They're not too bad.
That's still too expensive, I think.
It's mostly because it's a stupid novelty thing. It's the kind of thing you get when you have a friend who you have no idea what to get for Christmas.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my friends a giant phone.
No, it's for the
with
friend.
The curly.
It's for the friend who's not really your friend, but you're obliged to get them a present.
All right, so just don't be surprised when you open your present.
I'm expecting it.
Yeah.
It's the kind of present you get when you're a shitty friend.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Ties are outdated. Now it's the old-timey phone. Oh, my God. What made me think of that was because, the prices, they got ridiculous. I was looking back, like, how much these things cost. And NES, when it first came out, $200.
Ugh.
I could not even imagine.
Wow.
Right? You could sell it for, like, $200 now if it's in good condition because it's fucking 25, 30 years old. But, like, Jesus Christ. $200. They kept it going, though. Everything was $200 till the Wii came out. So, I mean, it was a neat little platform. And they were always the cheapest. They were always the cheapest. I know we talked a little bit like a month or so ago about Sega, how the Saturn fucking killed it, and Dreamcast didn't have a chance to go anywhere. Didn't think about this. When the Saturn came out, $400.
Jesus.
For the Saturn. Meanwhile, the GameCube was $200. The N64 was $200. The PS1 was $300. It was a shitty system already, and it was more expensive than anything that they could have possibly put into it. I thought that was like fucking ridiculous. It makes perfect sense though too. The Dreamcast, when it came out, $200.
Well, in retrospect,
knowing
what we do now about Sega, it's not surprising.
It's not surprising now. No, Sonic has been fucked into the ground in a way that Mega Man is only really aware of these days. He's getting there. Oh, I think I posted today on our Facebook page, facebook.com/thedpad. We're gonna plug that again. Someone made a I don't know if it's official. But it was box art for like Mega Man or Marvel vs. Capcom Origins, which I don't know what that's all about, but it was a mock-up of the original awful, terrible American Mega Man box art, the one with the dude with the laser gun instead of actually Mega Man. But they actually replaced it with Mega Man. He's fighting like Captain America, and it's a perfect like old school. Go to our Facebook page, take a look at that. It's really fucking cool, I think. I don't know. I like that stuff. Some of the games, though, the games that come out when these things get oh my god, wow! Nokia Mobira, there's a company we all hear about every day now. Nokia Mobira cellular phone, $595.
Look at that!
Oh my god!
And that's in like 1980, where that's basically like a $900,000 thing right now. In today's money.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, money's worth a whole lot less now, isn't it? That's a good point. Maybe the NES wasn't just $200 compared to now. But
no, it's a
fucking brick. It's got the huge goddamn gray antenna that didn't do a fucking thing. You could take that off and it didn't matter.
Yeah. And then it has the thing where you have to hang it up. Yeah, you have to have this to hang it up.
Is that really? Is there no button?
If you don't
it?
Have this thing, you can't hang up your phone.
I miss the wireless. Well, that's what it was, wireless phones. Because it wasn't cell phones yet. It was just wireless phones.
It was an innovation in landlines. Oh my god.
That's literally something that only someone who like kind of grew up somewhere in the 90s, somewhere in the like late 80s, early 90s would ever get, because there was such a small window of wireless phones, and they were just bad. Oh my god, that's amazing!
It's a ridiculous concept.
Holy shit! But yeah, games. I mean, obviously, one of the most important. You can't fucking. I mean, now you can because there's so many gadgets you can do on them. But back in the day, before like the Wii, the PS3, and the Xbox 360, when you bought a console, you needed games. You couldn't do anything without them. I thought it was interesting. I kind of looked at like what the release games were for a lot of these systems, and you'd be surprised. Some of these launches were fucking pitiful by any standards at all. For example. And maybe this is kind of telling of why things went the way they did. The Nintendo 64, which was the start of when Nintendo kind of did its tailspin out of complete domination. How many games do you think came out?
One.
64?
64. That'd be awesome, right? That'd be really cool. That would have been a smart tactic, I think.
Well, they did run with that for a while.
They did.
They took liberties with that.
They really did. It was not 64. It was not one. You're close, though.
Two.
A whopping two games at launch. And they were Super Mario Brothers, Super Mario 64, and one of the greatest games that we've ever known in our time, Pilot Wings 64.
Oh my God. I forgot that was an initial release game.
Yeah. I think that one was just, I think they only put that as a release because Pilot Wings was a Super Nintendo release. Yeah. By comparison, now that was a shitty ass launch for them. Super Nintendo had a great one. Five games came out with that one, and the five were Pilot Wings, Gradius 3, F-Zero, Sim City, and Super Mario World. That's a pretty solid launch set.
It's an okay for the
early 90s. Those five games would keep you going.
Yeah, because there were not a lot of games that were just in general being released.
Exactly.
Yeah, a five game release. Like now with like the Wii, I mean, there are a launch of like maybe like what, like 10, 15 games.
The Wii had 21 games at launch.
21, but and that's a weak release.
Yeah. No, it's not.
21.
Yeah, 21 is actually one of the best.
We did not have a great release.
No, if we're talking sheer volume, the top five. Well, not the top five. You get number five, the Dreamcast at 19 games, which wow. didn't save it. That's a great opening. That's a great opening little gambit
yeah,
there.
Back in
really
that
work.
Back in that time, yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing. The Wii was actually number four with 21 games. We got let's see. Oh, this one's embarrassing. Maybe here's an example of where volume really doesn't help. The PlayStation Vita had a launch of 26 games.
Yeah, because they ported everything.
It was a bunch of ports, and none of them were really good. The best games that they had Rayman Origins, and they had a Katamari game. The rest were all bullshit.
But Rayman Origins lost a lot when it wasn't on the PlayStation 3. Most of these games lose so much when they're not on a big screen.
Oh, it's true. The number two big release, PlayStation 2. Had 29 games at release.
Because it was one of the easiest games to ever, easiest consoles to ever program.
Some big stuff. They had Time Splitters was one of their launch titles, and that was a great, that whole series was awesome.
Because PlayStation showed up with the PlayStation 2, went to a bunch of developers and said, here's our development system, and it was like, holy shit, we can do so much with this.
That's true. Unreal Tournament. Unreal Tournament was another one that came out right at the beginning of it. That was a pretty solid.
PlayStation 2 had a great release.
Yeah. And then, do you want to guess what the number one, like most games at a release ever? Give it a swing. What do you think?
Atari?
That's a good one. That's a good one. No, sadly. It was like four or something like for that. They were like, we'll just make them as we go. What do you think?
Xbox?
No, the Xbox had 13. The Wii U actually has the most launch titles in video game history. 34, including... was this Assassin's Creed 3?
But then,
Black Ops 2.
A lot of them were already released on previous consoles.
A lot of them were. It was a lot of ports. I'll give you that.
A lot of ports.
You want a little bit more fun? The last generation was a big console war thing. The Wii, the PS3.
What was the 360 on release?
360 had 18 games.
Not bad.
PS3 only had 13. Which I mean, that was a big thing. People were railing about how shitty that was. A bad launch. The launch was really bad.
It was, but the PS3 had to play a lot of catch up.
They did. They eventually did catch up. They're actually doing pretty damn good right now.
Yeah, because they got a lot of great games coming out.
Yeah.
Well, not this year, but they have had.
We got to keep an eye. Actually, the Wii by the end of this year may cross 100 million consoles sold. It's gonna be a tight squeeze on that.
Because everyone in Japan has 9 of them.
It's true. Well, so all three of the last generation consoles, 360, the PS3, and the Wii. All got Call of Duty as a launch title, sort of. On the Wii, you have Call of Duty 3. On the PS3, you have Call of Duty 3. On the 360, you have Call of Duty 2. it was a year ahead of the thing, but I don't know. I thought that's not a great place to be when it's like, all right, we got these come out, and we've got the next game right after that thing comes out.
And now 360 is dominating.
It's true. Also, I mean, the PS3 had its whole thing about the price, too. $500 or $600, depending on what you wanted on it. You'd think the most expensive consoles, but you would be wrong, unfortunately.
Oh, no, I knew that was way more expensive.
There were two that were more expensive. We got the Neo Geo, which was $650.
They just re-released that.
It was like Neo Geo Gold or Neo Geo X Gold or something, and they're re-releasing it for like $400. It's the same fucking games. It's the same games that were outdated 10 years ago, and they're still selling that thing for like hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Because no one bought it. Most of them were destroyed. They're
rare
now.
You know what would be cheaper? Emulating them.
It's true, but people aren't buying it. They're buying it as collector items at this point.
No, you're not going to buy a new system that's a fake of the old system to play games that weren't good when they came out. That's not what you do. If someone came If someone came out with like, you know, a shitty, I don't know, CDI copy, you're not going to go and buy CDI games.
I will.
Oh my god. There was one worse too, though. The you ever heard of the 3DO?
Barely.
Vaguely. It was, you're not missing much. It was a terrible fucking system that went over $700 when it came out.
And that was in like
In the '90s, I think.
Early '90s.
Late '90s, I think. But
really,
even
that
still,
was late '90s.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Even still, $700 when comparatively, the N64 and the GameCube were $200 a piece. PS1 $300, Xbox $300. You could buy all of those for about the same as it would take to buy one 3DO. I don't know. And then, you know, you got your handheld stuff, but that's always been really one-sided. Nintendo's never been at risk of like falling apart there. The closest they ever came was the PlayStation, the PSP, PlayStation Portable. When that first came out, they were like, oh shit, well, we're kind of in trouble now. They've actually got some good stuff going here. 16 games that came out. Luminous was a great little launch title there. Didn't really take, and the PS Vita is drowning in its own filth.
That was something that just didn't work quite well.
No, which
there's nothing to play on it.
That's the well, I mean, part of that was the UMDs. They had, so for those of you out there who never had a PSP, congratulations. Also, they had, so the games, anyone who plays video games, you know that they roughly come in two different flavors. You have your cartridges, like your Game Boy, your old NES games, you know, things like that. Or you have your discs, a la all of the new games, the PS1, the Xbox, the Dreamcast, things like that. What they opted for was the worst of both worlds by having a disc and encasing it inside of a terrible cartridge called a UMD, Universal Media Disc, because Sony
Why does
gets,
that sound like a weapon?
Sony gets off on coming up with new file formats and disc formats, because that's
they
what Blu-ray
do,
was.
But,
so.
Yeah, but... They hit and then they miss sometimes.
Yeah, no, this was, well, it didn't help that the PSP had faulty mechanics to it. It would literally, the back would just pop open at random. And some people, you have videos on YouTube of them playing a game, you twist it just a little, like give it a little bit of torsion on it, and it like fires the game out of the system. It was a little bit scary, actually. I don't know. But yeah, God forbid anything gets inside of there. It's like, imagine if you had a jewel case. And you cut like a square into one side of the jewel case. That's what the UMD was. God forbid you got any lint or something in there. You would never, ever get it out, and your game was ruined forever. It was terrible.
So
games,
what was
really.
It called? The what?
The
Universal what?
Universal Media Disc, I think. UMD was the name of it.
How is that universal at all?
Exactly, yeah.
It's the least universal thing possible.
Yeah, exactly. It's the only place they used it. They immediately, the PS Vita, as far as I know, dropped it entirely. Yeah, no, universal my ass.
You
like,
can't use it in computers. You can't use it in other consoles. That,
you can't.
You have to invent another console that uses that for it to become universal in any way.
At least GameCube games occasionally worked inside of a computer.
Yeah.
But like, no, this was bullshit all around. Although apparently, I mean, Nintendo's always been good at sidestepping. They had sort of mini discs for the GameCube. They had sort of DVDs for the Wii, and they've got sort of Blu-ray now for their Wii U.
And then we're running straight at the next generation with the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox 720. We'll call it for now. You might be just getting a game and you open it up and it's a flash drive inside.
I think that's what's going to happen. Maybe not this time, but the next time around, I hope it does. Because why use a disc when you can just use a flat? And by that time. Flash memory is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. I mean,
it's getting cheap too.
Yeah, it's getting really cheap. It's basically a dollar a gig these days.
I think it's even dropped below that.
It might be below that, but yeah. And think about how big these games are. I mean, some of the Blu-ray stuff, yeah, that's like, you know, 600 gigs or some huge amount like that. But give it, you know, 6-7 years, and yeah, you're gonna be able to get that in your pocket for chump change, and you can put together these games just like the cartridges that there used to be. The problem with discs is they break, they scratch, they overheat, they spin weird. Your laser gets all fucked up or something. But if you have cartridges, if you have flash drives, that's, you know, solid state. That's never gonna go bad. It's never going to disintegrate or anything like that. You're always going to have the same thing and no load times. How great would it be to play any fucking game you like without a goddamn loading bar? When you go into the net, we walk in a door, loading bar. Oh, I didn't want to go here. Walk outside, loading bar. Shit, wait a minute. This is the bar that we need. Oh, go back in, loading bar. Like, oh my God. Have you ever played Simpsons, I want to say, Hit and Run?
Yeah, constant loading screens.
Yeah,
you spend more time on loading screens than you.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the things I had with the original Mass Effect was I think I spent more time in that fucking elevator than I did playing the game. If you played the elevator.
Oh, the elevator. Yeah. They use an elevator to subvert needing a loading bar. Because they know it's only going to take so long.
They're trying to trick you into thinking it's part of the game.
Basically, yeah. It's about a 1 minute long elevator ride. I mean, you have background noise. You got like news reports with some funny stories and stuff in there about like a bunch of aliens doing their version of like Romeo and Juliet or something.
And it's kind of I mean, it's funny for a while, but then after you're
once you've heard all of them before, it's really
like,
stops.
Oh my god, please stop this! I can't deal with this anymore.
Yeah, but no, for Simpsons Hit and Run, the loading screen was, I believe they said on average it took 45 seconds to load, but in some cases it took upwards of 5 or 6 minutes to load. And it would load events that took less than 3 minutes to play.
Yeah.
So, and I remember my sister had this game, and she would play it, and yeah, she would go do a thing, sit there for 5 minutes, do a 1 minute mission, and then load for another 5 minutes. So she'd go back to the menu, load again, 1 minute mission, load. And it was
because it is, I know some of the more recent games have been finding ways around it, like with the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation, since they have memory dedicated to it, that you can basically download the game onto your system and then play it with. Almost no. So instead of basically you spend an hour just downloading it onto your system and then you can play it without loading.
Now what's intriguing is that of all people, and I never would have expected it, Nintendo is actually one of the people at the forefront of it right now, because they just started with the 3DS doing, I don't know if there's a term for it, but basically when New Super Mario Bros. 2 came out, they had simultaneously you could either buy a physical copy of the game or you could download the whole game. There was no discernible difference between. There were like little tiny differences in what you would be able to download from there, but ultimately it was the same game. And then they went back and they offered digital downloads of a couple other 3DS games that had already come out. So they're kind of backing up that way. And meanwhile, with the virtual console, and I know that the Xbox Live Arcade and PlayStation Network have this to a degree, but Wii Virtual Console in particular has. Older games, and now with the Wii U, they're going to start offering GameCube games on there, which were disc based and had loading times, which aren't going to if they're on a hard drive that are right there. So, I don't know. I think we're about to see a very big development.
It's also because we were just discussing this earlier, because a game that I played today, which I very much liked. Mm-hmm. It's not on the same. Which each system is almost taking on its own persona. Each online
they
system,
really are
because
yeah.
the Nintendo has gone to basically
Nintendo's moving the way of like Facebook
retro
right now.
It's like, remember these games, we've updated them and they're now available,
which is neat. The updates are actually very cool. I'm very appreciative of that.
Nothing wrong with it. I'm not knocking it. I mean, there's some old games that if they pop up, I'd love to play them again. Xbox 360 is more of the it's a little more experimental. It's more an open source, let everyone in and see what happens. But everything's going to come out a little more cartoonish. Whereas the PlayStation Network is the place where the art game comes.
The artsy stuff,
because they can make
it
look like that. Because I played the game, The Unfinished Swan today, which if you have a chance to play it, it takes about the same time as Journey, maybe even a little shorter.
All right,
which that's about 2 hours, and it is a very pretty game, very well done. Not as artsy as some of the other ones like Shadow of the Colossus, Journey, Ico, but it's well within the realm of a very nice artsy game.
Nice. Okay. All right. Well, I think it's about time we probably wrap this guy up for the week. Yeah, I think so. Probably getting kind of close. I don't know. Last thoughts. What do you think? What do you think? All right. What console do you think had the best launch of all time?
I'll give that one to PlayStation 2.
PlayStation 2?
Because they didn't have the most games, but I think they had the most quality games at release.
Okay. All right. What would you say had the worst launch?
Ooh, worst launch?
Yeah.
I might have to give that one to the PlayStation 3.
Wow. Okay. So a total 180 from
next. No, I'm going to give it to Dreamcast. That was a walking disaster.
Now
that one started off.
Now the trick is, are we talking about just the Dreamcast? Because the Saturn is really what fucked the Dreamcast out of existence.
See, but I think that's what caused the terrible release. Because, I mean, a bad release is a lot of things.
That's true. There are a lot of factors that go into that.
Because, I mean, the PlayStation 3 had a terrible release, but it's a great system.
Mm-hmm.
So the system was the cause and not the cause of the problem.
So you're saying that the system that you're giving the worst release of all time, which ultimately got stomped out by the one you gave the best release of all time. It was only out for about like half a year before the PlayStation 2 came out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. I think the Dreamcast had the worst release. I mean, it had basically nothing for games.
Which one?
Dreamcast?
Dreamcast had 19 games. Sonic Adventure was one of its launch titles. 999, that was their big thing.
Yeah, but...
They had Soul Calibur. The original Soul Calibur was also a Dreamcast release, launch release.
Yeah, I just think there was so much there that the Dreamcast was doomed from the start.
It was, which sucks because they had a lot of good ideas that by the time they came to fruition, it was already dying. Sonic Adventure 2 was like one of the last big things they were able to put out.
I think one of the other things was around the time of its release, people are starting to learn more and more about the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
So developers were holding back. People were holding back on buying it because that was at the time where basically one house had one game console.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's
true. So they could have begged their parents for a Dreamcast, but a lot of people were willing to wait the few months for the PlayStation 2, which was promising better games, more games.
Yeah. I think part of it was that people, the Saturn did so poorly that people were kind of disenfranchised.
Yeah, and that was another thing that was hurting it was that Saturn just sucked.
I would say if I had to give it, I would have to split it. I have a hard time giving it to one here. It would go to one of the following three for the best to be either the Super Nintendo, which despite its small launch thing, all five of those were killer games. All five of them wound up being huge, which is rare. You never really see that. The PS2, which we already kind of went over, it was a huge, crazy release. Everything, the PS2 was magical. And the third one would be for the original DS. They had some, now the specific game, it only had seven games when it launched, but among, and include one of those seven wound up being Spider-Man 2, which was a hilariously bad game. But it also had, you know, like Field of Magic and Super Mario DS and all that stuff. I don't know.
The DS was one of the stronger ones. My only problem with the DS was that, it started off very strong.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of faded away.
It's still moving now,
sells a lot, but yeah. like it's got a lot of very playable, repeatable games.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that like true quality of true awesomely like amazing quality games for it has kind of faded away.
All right. And I mean, that's kind of part of it. 3DS has been out for a year and a half now, so one would assume the DS is kind of faded and finishing. So.
But I mean, even before the 3DS, it was...
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah. Well, it was slow going. The PSP wasn't putting up much of a fight anymore, so the DS really didn't have to be amazing
anymore.
Yeah,
they didn't have to get prodded, but that was the thing. They got a little complacent with the DS. Yeah.
Which is hilarious, because when the Game Boy Advance came out, it had no real competitors, and that was one of the strongest like consoles they've ever had. The Game Boy Advance was tight.
Yeah, but I don't know why they did... I'm disappointed they got complacent because they had some potential for some really great things with that system.
All right, so why don't we? I think we're gonna shoot this puppy. We're all set for the night. We got our usual plugs: facebook.com/thedpad. We're Downright Dpad on Twitter and on YouTube. We have dpadup.com. You can email us. We got our iTunes on there. We got our Let's Plays, which are down right now, but they're coming back very soon. We have a plug going on our Facebook right now. We have a Kickstarter for a friend of the show, Gina Madison. She's trying to... I was ADing on a film of hers this summer. She's trying to raise some funds for her film. It's awesome. Go check it out. We made a post about it a second ago. Next week, we're going to be talking about, in honor of a whole bunch of weird anniversaries over this past year, such as James Bond, the Rolling Stones, and the upcoming Doctor Who. Big anniversaries all around. So we're going to talk about... Legacy of the Ages, the things that have been around a long time that are still just as awesome as they were decades ago. We're gonna get a little nostalgic, a little retro with it. So it's gonna be good. I'm Rick Desolitz.
I'm still Nick.
And this is still the D-pad.
I'll beat you so bad, they'll feel it in the next generation. So bring it on, I'll rip you like a Klingon. My rhymes will burrow in your ears like a wrath of Khan. I got a neck chop for Spock, I'll put my sword through Sulu. Check into a Priceline Hotel, I'll watch your fat ass on Hulu.
I'm the enterprising Captain James Tiberius Kirk, representing Riverside, Iowa, planet Earth. I hear you.
you call yourself an explorer, but I'm just not having it. You discovered a new world that was already inhabited. Why don't you boldly go someplace you've never gone before, like India? Or any destination you've actually set sail for. You spaghetti-eating fuck, how's your spice rack doing? I'll be chilling in my spaceship. Have fun canoeing.
You know, rapping against you, it's not even fun. It's like somebody setting your brains on stun. I am the fabric of history. You are a fictional stain. I'll stick a flag up your ass and acclaim you for Spain.
Mr. Spock, beam me back to 1492 so I can beat this man like it's my job. Well, see how Isabella likes my captain's log. It's Kobayashi for you. There's no way you could win when your weak crew sees me approaching. They'll be like, damn it, it's Jim. I'll double fist punch you, fame making bitch. Now take your genocidal ass off of my brain.
Whoa, whoa,